Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Dave, you know Jason Williams, don't you? District Attorney.
Hello, Mr.
City, New
attorney.
Orleans.
Good morning.
Orleans Parish. Yeah, I know you two have spoken to each other. He had rotator cuff surgery. I don't know if you want to make a story about that or not.
That's absolutely up to him.
Yeah.
I tell you, I wish reaching this part of my life, arch supports could make everything better. But
they will, actually, if you got foot trouble. Well, I'll tell you that.
I don't think it's going to happen
with shoulders now.
He listens all the time. Tell me what you should never discuss at the Thanksgiving table as a district attorney. What would you never discuss?
You hit all the stuff, man.
All right.
Exes,
okay.
Immigration,
none
politics.
Leave it all alone.
So phone in.
Yeah, just the dressing. That's all you want to do.
Talk about weather and food.
Talk about the dressing. Boy, this dressing's good, Aunt Clara. Tell me how you got the recipe. That's the best way to get it.
Did you fry this turkey? Did you bake it? Is it injected?
It's incredible. It's good. It's real good. Matt Derbis is also here, the Homicide Unit Chief for the District Attorney's Office. We all know what Jason Williams does. Matt, tell us what you do, if you would, please.
So we supervise a team of prosecutors, about 8 prosecutors that handle cases from start to finish. So we assign cases vertically. When someone is arrested, we go ahead and assign that case to a prosecutor so that that family has one face from start to finish, and so that that prosecutor can start working with the detective to make stronger cases, to close holes in the investigation and be able to present the best case to a jury when we get to trial. And so I supervise the attorneys. I also get in the courtroom. I was in a murder trial last week for a few days. So that's what I do.
And I think what people don't realize what's important is the investigative work that the DA's office does, right? And you're involved in that as well?
So we have a really good relationship with the homicide detective. So when an arrest is made, on a homicide case, the first thing we do is we get a copy of the warrant from the homicide unit for the New Orleans Police Department. And then we go ahead and we have an up list very similar to how NOPD detectives assigned cases. So the next attorney up on the list gets assigned the case, and they immediately start working with the detective and collaborating on what possible investigative tools can be used in this particular case.
What are the biggest challenges you guys face now?
I mean, there are many. First and foremost, we have shifted to be in line with the federal government and the rest of the country in terms of requiring 12 out of 12 jurors to agree. And as we were talking about off airtime, it's hard to get Americans to agree on anything, even the dressing of the turkey these days.
Really.
So that increases things. But, jurors are more sophisticated than they've ever been. A lot of them have that same technology that we use, whether it's Ring doorbell, security cams. They look for those things in terms of packages, right? So if they can rely on something for as simple as if a package was delivered, they expect to see some sort of digital forensics in almost every single case. And then you layer DNA on top of that. Jurors are looking for the types of evidence that they know exist in the world today.
And I guess CSI and programs like that have made it even harder?
Absolutely. We cannot lift a we can't see a fingerprint on a license plate when it's speeding from a crime scene the same way they can on Channel 7.
Yeah, I do think that jurors are much smarter and have a higher expectation level for what they expect to see in a trial. If you went back 20 years, 25 years, a lot of those murder cases may have had a single eyewitness, and that was it. And the case would involve a detective coming into court and saying this is what they did. And then in terms of identifying the person who committed the murder, they were really relying on a witness or witnesses to come into court and say, look, that's the person I saw kill the other person. And the problem we have with that is that we've seen over the last three or four decades is that the reliability of eyewitness identification has really been called into question with some of these exonerations and mis-IDs. And so, you know, the more and more the jurors see television shows like CSI, and more importantly, the more Netflix specials or documentaries about someone who has been exonerated based on a mis-ID or based on a lack of evidence. And so everyone knows what evidence is out there. They know DNA exists. If you test it, you have it. They know that there's cell phone evidence, there's digital forensics, there's cameras. And so jurors are very hesitant to convict today based on a single eyewitness coming into court and saying that's the person.
We're going to get to DNA in a second because that's why you guys are here. But I got to ask personally, I'll watch shows and sometimes I think, well, you couldn't get away with that because there's cameras everywhere. You couldn't get away with that because there's cameras everywhere. Are there pretty much cameras everywhere or not?
Not yet. You know, you look at certain places like London, where CCTV has been around for over a decade.
I was in Ireland and saw, I don't know if I recounted that story to you or not, but where they actually proactively watched the video. They saw a woman leave a pub that was intoxicated going into an area where it was not a good area for her to be with a couple of guys hanging around and actually dispatched a unit. It would be nice to have the resources to have all of that, but we're a long way from that.
I mean, you just had Councilman Green on talking about the budget crisis, so we are even further away from that than we thought we could be years ago. But in the UK, that camera technology can also be preventative and proactive. But it also, you will find detectives actually doing a lot of work from behind monitors, going back, retracing steps before they even get into the field. And you know, and it's a game changer. In our situation, it's a patchwork. Sometimes it might be someone's Ring doorbell camera. It might be a license plate reader. It might be a social media post. We've got to string all those things together, and sometimes it might be the back of a person's head. But the game has changed. As it relates to camera technology being helpful, because jurors, one witness sometimes just isn't enough. If
they're willing,
if they're even willing to come, that's a very good point, Tommy. And that's been something we've struggled with for a number of years: is people, because of rates of crime, not being willing to come to court and testify, even though they saw something. The first case we tried, we had 25 people out there at the scene. Christmas morning, first case Matt and I tried together, and the only person that came was a person we had to bring in shackles who was in jail for an unrelated issue.
And even then, you can't make them testify as to what they saw.
Plead fifth.
Right? No, that's the issue you have with eyewitnesses, especially reluctant eyewitnesses or uncooperative eyewitnesses. You can have someone, you know, go into a police station a year before the trial and give this wonderful, beautiful statement that identifies the defendant, gives you a ton of evidence. But if you are just walking into trial relying on that witness to say the same exact thing they told the detective in the investigation, you're in a lot of trouble. You get in there and that witness refuses to testify at all. It's very difficult to make them testify. Some of these witnesses are serving time already, so what do they care about being held in contempt of court? And then jeopardy's attached, and now you're kind of SOL. And so a lot of the cases we tried, they don't have any witnesses. The one I tried last week and the one Mr. Williams tried, well, the one last week, we didn't have a single witness. It also, ironically, happened on Christmas Day. It was a murder happens on an RTCC camera in front of a grocery store. So we had the video from the grocery store. We had video from real-time crime camera at the scene. We had video from LPR cameras in Jefferson Parish. We had video from different points in time of that vehicle moving throughout the city. And that's how the case was made, you know, from surveillance video alone.
And I hate to keep going back to movies, and we're going to get to DNA in a second after the break. But I don't know if you've seen this movie, Patriots Day, but where they go back and they're stitching together video. That's kind of what you're doing, right?
That is exactly right. Some might even call it a pattern of life. For that day, and we also do that same work with our OSINT team, former CIA, FBI agents who are looking at social media, doing that exact same thing and layering that over that sort of that pattern and that stitching those pieces together to talk about what happened in those 48 hours before and after a crime.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about DNA and the problems it's causing. We're talking to Jason Williams, district attorney, and Matt Derbez, homicide unit chief of the DA's office. We'll continue it when we come back on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
923 Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jason Williams, our friend, New Orleans District Attorney, and Matt Derbez, homicide unit chief for the DA's office. And we invited y'all in because of this article by Jillian Kramer from our partners at NOLA.com about the impact of DNA test delays on New Orleans prosecution. So, Matt, I guess this is your area. Let's talk about what kind of effect it's having and what are the jury's expectations and how does this affect murder trials?
I'd like to start off, imagine watching CSI episode one and you put it on and you're 10 minutes into the episode and all of a sudden it stops. Mm-hmm. And it says to be continued, season 3, episode 7. And that's what we're seeing with this, you know, delay, you know, average delay of 441 days from the time it's submitted to the time we get a result. And so that really kind of stops the case. You don't want to present a case to a jury and say, oh, by the way, we have this incredible piece of evidence that is sitting at the lab, but we don't have a report yet.
Wait till you see this.
Yeah, wait till you see this, but they never get to see it. Yeah. And so I think it's unethical in many cases when you have something where it might not be on crystal clear quality video. You might not have a slam dunk type case in terms of making an identification. DNA is the best possible tool for making an identification. When you have a witness that comes in and says, I'm 100% certain that that's the person I saw holding the gun, it's a lot different when you have a lab expert coming in and saying, look, we swabbed that gun, we swabbed the defendant for a reference sample, and there's a 1 in 16 nonillion chance it's somebody else. And so that evidence is extremely independent and it's extremely strong.
Let me just jump in for a second. When you talked about DNA exonerations before, you're not talking about people that were wrongly convicted because of DNA. You're talking about people who were wrongly convicted because of lack of DNA, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And so, you know, people have seen those Netflix specials. They've seen those television shows. And they're very hesitant today to convict without something more than just a single eyewitness identification. And when, you know, we can't stand in front of a jury and say, look, NOPD's got a budget problem, so you don't get to see the DNA in this case. Or, you know, Katrina knocked out the crime lab. And so feel bad for us. Mm-hmm. We don't have this DNA. We can't do that. And so if we have an opportunity and we know it's coming and we know we're going to get a report one way or the other, we get to stand in front of that jury and say, look, we tested it. This was the result. We either didn't have DNA. We had, you know, sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. But when it's pending, you really can't go in front of a jury.
What do you do? You can't present it, can you?
No. And think about it this way, Tommy. I know that someone had mentioned, well, you know, there were many years that we had trials, murder trials, before we had DNA. Mm-hmm. When the crime lab was knocked out,
This is Katrina.
In Katrina. And all of those years when we did not have our own local crime lab, the police department kept doing their work the right way, which meant they kept obtaining samples,
collecting it
from crime scenes and properly storing it and shipping it off for testing. Once the judge, the jury, knows, the defendant knows that DNA was collected and was submitted for testing, the assumption is if it's bad for the defendant, it is going to be presented in court, right? And so if we go forward with a trial and we don't, and the police report says DNA was collected, but we don't mention it during the week-long trial or 3 weeks long trial, you can rest assured the defense attorney is going to stand up and say, well, they collected it. If it showed that he was present at the scene, they certainly would have shown it to you.
Well, and they would know from the discovery process whether you have it or not, wouldn't they?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, so absolutely. It's something that it really puts us in a bind with respect to presenting cases. And so, you know, even in a case where we don't have DNA, you know, that general lifeline of a case in terms of or lifetime of a case where it goes from arrest, where they have probable cause and they continue to investigate, continue to gather more evidence, to go from probable cause to proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And then we present it to a grand jury, and then there's an arraignment, and there's pretrial litigation. So all of these other things are taking place at the same time the DNA is being tested. But eventually, we get to a point where we are ready in terms of being in a trial posture. We are ready to present the case to a jury, but now the DNA is lagging behind on that timeline. And so we've had over a dozen cases this year alone where we've had to stand up in court and say, Judge, the state needs a continuance. The DNA is still going to be a couple of months away or 3 months away. They're giving us a 3 to 4 month timeline. Even on cases when we request the lab expedite the test result for this particular case, it's still a 3 to 4 month timeline when we request expedition of that result. And so, you know, we're having to get continuances. We're having to go to families who are waiting for justice and say, look, you know, we could present the case as is, but the chance of success is much, much lower if we do that. And so we're not going to present a case that's, you know, half of a case when we have the opportunity to really present the whole case later on down the road.
And I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but with the discovery process, if they know whether or not you have the DNA, if it's good for them or if it's bad for them, and they know you don't have it, they're going to be a lot less likely to take any kind of plea than if they know that you have it and it's bad for them.
Spot on, Tommy. I was a defense attorney before I was a council member, before I was a DA. And no defense attorney worth their salt is going to and life means life in the state of Louisiana. You get convicted, you stay in jail till you get carried out in a pine box, and the jury's going to hear that, and the defense is going to say it over and over again. No defense attorney worth their salt is going to move forward with that big unknown being there. I haven't seen a single judge that was willing to go forward with a case knowing that there's no answers on that testing. I've even seen judges...
Wait, that it's pending?
That it's pending. No judge is going to go forward with a trial with DNA testing pending, knowing full well that case may wind up back in their lap because of how it comes out down the road. I've even seen judges call in members from Louisiana State Police to explain when they thought they would be able to get to the testing, to explain the delays, because I just didn't quite understand why it was delayed so much. And, you know, this is really hard on survivors and next of kin and victims' families. They don't deserve this. They don't understand it. They assume that because it was collected, it would be tested immediately. And so it really does change the trajectory of these cases, and it puts them in a holding pattern that no one can get them out of. And to your first question, if we had immediate DNA test results, you'd see a lot more pleas of guilty, where folks are saying, look, I'm just going to take my lick here because I see you've got proof that I was present at a scene where I originally said I wasn't at. And so a lot more cases would be resolved very early on because of that early testing.
Juries are more likely to believe DNA than they are video or witness statements?
DNA is well established. It's like a fingerprint these days. If there are no issues with the custody and how that was preserved. They believe that, that DNA and fingerprints are a lot stronger than somebody's memory.
Because I was going to say, just as it would have raised the bar with the crime shows, I would think that it also kind of closes the door once you can prove that you have it, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
So what has taken so long to get the stuff tested?
Well, it's just the volume of test submissions that are going to the state police now. It's not just Orleans Parish. It's several parishes that are sending all of their collections for testing. And we're just waiting in a queue for them to get to us. They've actually limited the number of test submissions that can come from Orleans Parish. We can only do it for certain cases. DNA could be very helpful in burglary cases, car burglary, home burglary, all sorts of cases. But we're
but only, that is way at the bottom.
It's way down the bottom of the list in terms of priorities for the state police. And that number only grew when you think about the amount of time that we haven't had local testing. And we're a port city. We've got people coming in town from other parishes every single weekend. Crimes are committed. So there are a number of collections coming from Orleans Parish, and we have to have our own local testing. There's no way for us to get around that.
Are murder and rape at the top of the list?
Absolutely.
Where does time factor in this, not just in terms of prosecution, but in terms of preservation of DNA, or is that a factor?
You know, the science of collecting and preserving submissions has gotten better than it's ever gotten before. It used to be you only had a couple of shots because the submission would sometimes be destroyed when it was being tested. So that's gotten a lot better. The science has gotten a lot better. But the volume issue is the one that is hurting not just this parish, but parishes around the state.
How do we compare the nation when it comes to this kind of thing?
We're behind. There is really no excuse for a major destination city, a port city like ours, to have gone since 2005 without its own testing capabilities. If we invested in this space, we would not only be able to do our own test submissions, but we could probably start doing them for surrounding parishes as well. And actually, that would be a revenue generating aspect for the city of New Orleans. And being in the middle of a budget crisis, anything that generates you revenue matters. So we're way behind cities like ours as it relates to DNA testing capabilities.
Is the construction of the DNA lab a priority as far as you know?
I believe in my communications with Mayor-elect Moreno and all of the city council and the newly elected city council members, it's top priority. They have been working to try to make sure that Dr. Kelly, who is our crime lab director, has the things that she needs. I pray that this distraction and this focus that's going to be on the budget doesn't allow us to lose our pace and steam as it relates to the crime lab, because there's a number of investments in equipment and personnel that have to happen at certain junctures between now and the projected crime lab date. And if they don't happen when they're supposed to happen in each quarter, then that's going to push back our opening date.
And I think part of this, too, is it's constantly evolving. So the equipment you get today is not going to be the equipment you need 5 years from now, right?
Yeah, we've seen that happen a number of times. There was an investment in the crime lab during Mayor Cantrell's first term. All that equipment's outdated now. So that was a wasted investment, because it was not timed with the opening and using of the facility.
Matt, the longer a case rolls on, the harder it is to get a conviction. Is that accurate?
In most cases, because the issue is that, you know, if you could just put one witness on the stand and have a lead detective run through, this witness said this witness said that, and this is what was collected here, it wouldn't. But the reality is defendants have a right to confront their accusers. And so when we have cases that involve, you know, even law enforcement witnesses, they leave their job. They move out of state.
People die.
Local witnesses go from being very cooperative, perhaps in the very beginning, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can't find them. They move. Their numbers change. And we're having to go out and track them down. And so, yeah, over time, the cases get longer. So you may have this kind of parallel.
This is all because, let me interrupt for a second, because of continuances, because the DNA has not been tested, correct?
though there are cases that are continued because the DNA has not been tested, there are cases that could continue for other reasons that Jillian kind of covered in her more global piece. But yeah, over time, witnesses, they get less cooperative, they get less locatable. And so as you're sitting there waiting for the case to potentially get better and much stronger with this DNA evidence, at that same exact time where the DNA is pending, the other aspects of your case are kind of going down.
Like dominoes, they're falling. Right?
Exactly. Jillian's first story on this backlog highlighted one story that a case I tried in Section C before Judge Willard. And it went to your point, Tommy. There were two adult witnesses that were in the room when this man came in and murdered a husband and wife in front of their two young children. Mm. They both died of COVID during the pandemic. Mm. This defendant was scheduled to plead guilty. However, when those two witnesses died, he changed his mind, said he wanted to go to trial. And we were stuck. We met with the family. We sat down with them. And we made the difficult choice of working with a child crime survivor who was a witness, who was very young when this crime occurred. And we prepped her and got her ready to testify. And she did testify. But like you said, over time, things happen. Witnesses die. They move to other states. They lose hope.
Memories
fade.
Don't match with the statements, and all of a sudden you mentioned the defense attorney. They're all over that.
Exactly right.
So what happens from here? Because I don't know that is the new DNA lab funded? Has ground been broken? I don't understand
So the lab is open. Dr. Kelly has been working to hire the staff that she needs and procure the equipment that will be the state-of-the-art models by the time it's scheduled to be open. But we've got to try cases between now and 2027.
Right.
And so what we've asked the city
council... Wait, tell me where 2027 comes from.
2027 is that projected date that this crime lab will be open over at Tulane and Broad. But we have cases...
Wait, I thought you said it was open.
The crime lab is open, but it is not. It cannot do DNA testing. It's doing drug testing, ballistics testing, but it is not accredited to do DNA testing yet. Okay. It's not equipped to do that. And so those submissions are still up at the state police. They've been sending those out to private labs, which require us to pay quite an exorbitant cost for the testing and to fly in those experts to testify in court. And so until that time, what we've been asking the city council to do is to help us get our own contract with a private lab so we can hopefully achieve some economies of scale. And we can hopefully find a lab that's either in the state or close to the state so we don't have to pay some ridiculous rate for somebody to fly in from New York or California to testify. And putting those pieces in place so we can, one, do it at a more economical scale, but also have some certainty of date so that Matt's team knows we will have these results by the trial date next month.
If we can contract out garbage delivery, we can't contract this out, or they can't?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And that's been proposed, I presume? I'm not the first guy to think of this?
It's been proposed. It's a matter of finding the right lab and getting a commitment from the newly elected to move forward with what I believe is the most reasonable, rational plan to take cases from probable cause to make an arrest to proof beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 jurors.
So when it comes to DNA, the plan now for 2027 is to have the lab equipped with the equipment they need to test DNA, but is that today's equipment or is that 2027's equipment?
Well, the way Dr. Kelly has scheduled it, and she's been very smart, she's a whiz kid on all of this, she's timing all of this so that these things are procured in time for the opening that is scheduled, and they're going through all of the steps to be properly accredited. And Tommy, if hopefully that she could get permission from her higher-ups, I think she would be really wonderful to hear from because she breaks this stuff down in a way that I think even a 75-year-old grandmother could understand it in terms of how it needs to be timed out, the people she needs on staff to do the work, and what have been the impediments to moving forward.
Jordan will reach out and we'll see if we can get that done. Final thoughts, Matt?
I just think that we're doing amazing work over there at the district attorney's office and the courthouse, even without some DNA testing, even without everything we possibly need. I mean, last year alone, we tried 42 homicide trials. This year, we're at 25. And that's only because we've had so much success at 24. It's allowed us to get these guilty pleas. And like the DA said, when we get DNA evidence, it makes it a lot easier to get a really high number on a plea, something the family can be happy with.
Hi, guys. Thanks for coming in. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tommy.
You bet. Good luck with the shoulder. Tell Mom hello.
You thank you. That. Absolutely
right.
Will.
942, 18 till 10. Quick look at traffic now on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.